Thank you very much, Mr. Eric Rank. What happens to our prayers? Does God actually take notice of the communication that we have with Him when we pray? Most of us would like to have the kind of response that Elijah did. It's recorded in 1 Kings 18. I won't turn to that portion. I think most of you know it. But he gave a prayer of about 24 words, maybe a few more. And then next verse records what happened, that God answered his prayer immediately and spectacularly. Well, that's probably not so common in the way God answers us, is it? More likely, our responses fall in the area of what Paul experienced. He gave his own example, and he talked about a problem he had, and he said, I've taken this to God 3 different times, and finally he did receive an answer, and the answer was, no, you're going to have to just live with this. And there's a reason that God had him do that, and the reason was there why God answered him the way he did. Brethren, we are taught to pray day by day for the things that we need. And that's even spelled out in the model prayer that Jesus Christ gave. But we're also taught to pray about future things, things which transcend even our own lifetimes. My sermonette has a title called Treasures in Heaven. And some of you may have tuned in today thinking I was going to talk about our ultimate destiny, right? Well, I am, but not in the way that so-called traditional Christianity portrays heaven. Well, let's go to something that Jesus Christ said, and it's the first point I'd like to give you in this sermonette, and this is the point. Our prayers actually are our treasure, which God accepts and rewards. Maybe I need to repeat that. That our prayers are indeed our treasure. It's a treasure which God accepts and rewards. Matthew 6, verses 19 through 21. Excuse me. In Matthew 6, Christ is giving some very insightful direction for those who would follow him. In verse 19 of Matthew 6, he says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. Continuing in verse 20, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How do you put treasure in heaven? I would contend, make the argument for, that it is through our contact with God in one way. We call it prayer. It's the conversations we have with Him. Let's go to, in the same context in this first point, let's go to 1 Timothy 6, verses 17 through 19 for a little bit more on the point that I'm making here, is that when we pray, we're actually accruing wealth before God. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17. Here, Paul's addressing someone who might actually have physical wealth in this time. In the earlier reference that I gave you in Matthew, Christ was warning not to set your heart on those things, but some people will. Some people will have wealth, and here's the advice. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, not to trust in an uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they may be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Verse 19 is key here. Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Remember, Jesus made a point. He said in Matthew 25:29, again a reference I'll just give to you, that to everyone who has, more will be given. So we are to store up. That means to collect, to stockpile, to put away, gather together, any kind of other synonym you'd like to throw together for this concept of storing up. Amass might be another term about storing up. So are we amassing prayers in heaven before God? Now, we might wonder, well, what if God isn't answering my prayers right now, right here, today, in this very instance? Do they still count? It's a way of living, brethren, to be able to communicate to God. And he wants us to do that, and we have to have faith, of course. Let me continue. Second point. God may answer our prayers just because we pray. Is that a little bit upside down? No. It's because we serve him in this way, that we serve him in prayers. And I'd like to give you some examples. Luke 2. And I'd like to read verses 36 through 38. And this is the example of Anna coming into the temple just at the time when Jesus Christ was brought in. Luke 2, verse 36. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. That was her calling, her service in her day. And in verse 38, and coming in at that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, or to God, and spoke of him to all of those who looked for redemption in Israel. She was talking about Jesus Christ. Acts 10 is maybe even a more explicit example here, having to do with Cornelius. Acts 10, verses 1 through 4. And again, this point is that God answers our prayers because he knows who we are. He's familiar with us. And he has valued the relationship we have established with him. Acts 10, verse 1. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what is called the Italian regiment, a devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, Cornelius. And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? So he said to him, Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. They counted. Even though he might have thought and wondered about where they would all possibly lead, but he was the first official Gentile convert, he and his family. Point three, God views our service, which includes prayers, in the perspective of his kingdom. He doesn't have to answer us right here, right now, always, but as he chooses. Just a couple of references here. Malachi 3 and verse 16. To make my point, this third point, that God views our service in the perspective of his kingdom. Malachi 3 and verse 16, for those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. We know from the book of Revelation, too, that the prayers of the saints are mentioned as incense before God, that they are highly valued by God. So again, as we pray, realize that God is answering us from the perspective of what he has in mind, what his plans are. And we can trust him implicitly in that. And finally, you can be turning to 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. But here's my fourth point and final one. When we need to get our focus about prayer, its importance, its need, all the ramifications of prayer, let's consider what Peter said. And I would say we could use this as a backdrop when we maybe struggle with prayer or feel urged to really turn to God in prayer. Let's read what Peter said in 1 Peter 1. And let me actually pick it up in 1 Peter instead of 2 Peter. 1 Peter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That sets the stage here. To an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Again, catch what's being said here, that there is a reward which we might not have right now, but what we're doing in developing that reward of building treasure in heaven has a lot to do, of course, with how we live, but also specifically with how we pray. Verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Of course, we're going to have trials, even though we're praying about them. We're going to go through trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold, here's the real treasure, that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. And here is a culminating verse in this point and this text that I'm reading, verse 9. When we pray, when we bring our problems, our trials before God, we're doing so that we will receive the ultimate treasure from God, and that is the end of our faith, the salvation of our lives. Salvation is our ultimate treasure. Brethren, prayer is vitally important to us. We can't let down on it. It's important for our daily living. It's vitally important for our future, because we are building an eternal relationship with God right now. So keep those things in mind and don't doubt.